We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're going to get a cease and desist from one of these companies one of these days. It'll be Rain Dogs.
That's not actually what they're called yet.
They might. What we might we, be on to something though.
We could make our own Seattle beer called Rain Dog.
I kind of love that.
And then it says bark, wolf, bark at the bottom.
Hell yeah.
Ruff, ruff, bark.
Ruff, ruff, bark. Or rah, rah, rah.
Yeah.
Just R-O-R-O-R-O-R. Rain Dog. That's the most annoying commercials ever.
It'll be like, what's that? But like for millennials. Welcome to the Holy Hour.
I'm Amelia Sampson.
And I'm Liz Ball.
And I'm here today.
I had a brain fart just like doing the intro. I was like, oh.
What do we say?
Who says their name first again?
It is a very, I don't know why doing our intro is always such a scary thing, but it is.
I wonder if everyone feels that way who like podcasts, like if your intro is like the weirdest part.
I feel like a lot of podcasts have their intro pre-recorded. Like a lot of the podcasts that I listen to are like disclaimers at the beginning. They're like also like concurrent podcasts. So there's like a long intro, but they're always the same.
Disclaimers and then a song. And then it's like hosted by blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, exactly. TMG has a pre-recorded intro.
Interesting.
I love if you are looking for another podcast to listen to, don't abandon us. First of all, you can listen to more than one podcast.
Yeah.
Okay? Don't leave us.
This doesn't need to be exclusive. Right. Although if you want it to be exclusive with us, we don't mind.
Right. We can have that conversation. And I'm like really cool with being exclusive with you.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for another podcast, like, you know, on once you've all caught up, Wisecracking Blonde Show, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny Meat Gang is a podcast hosted by Cody Coe and Noelle Miller. And I have probably mentioned them 100 times on this podcast. I'm very in love with both of them and both of their girlfriends. I'm like fully involved in their lives. But they have a really good podcast. It's a lot like ours in like the sense that they're best friends that just like just talk. And it kind of feels like you're just hanging out with them.
Yeah.
It's really, really nice. I don't know. And there's no real like structure to the show. They just kind of like talk about whatever. But anyway, all that to say,
just the boys being bros, being guys, being dudes.
Exactly. And like they
being boys,
they lean into like the bros being bros kind of like ironically, you know, so it's like kind of refreshing to listen to. I don't know. I just love them so much.
We should do an episode where we're the boys being boys.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I think we'd do a great job.
I think we would, too.
We need to pick a guy persona, like a stereotypical brand of guy.
Okay. Okay. I feel like I'm just always going to default to like the tech bro.
Would one of us be an incel?
Ooh, we'd be so good at that. We're so exposed. I think one of us would be an incel for sure.
That would be fun. I feel like we would both have to be incels.
We would bounce off of each other well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we'll do that for Halloween.
Yeah, okay. We'll be incels for Halloween.
Cosplay as a boy.
Oh, yeah. Our Halloween episode will be us as incels. I kind of love this idea.
If you have a better one, let us know, though.
Perfect opportunity to plug our
socials. I think that's the scariest thing.
What?
being a incel.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing scarier on Halloween.
No.
No. Fuck. That and a serial killer.
Also, I just really want to have like a fake mustache or beard. I don't know. You know how you love beards? I want to have one. I want to have a mustache really badly.
Mm-hmm. I love a good mustache.
They just seem fun. Yeah. And I think that mustaches and facial hair should be for the girls and not for the boys.
Agreed.
I think it's rude that they get that thing.
Agreed. And then they have like the gall to tell us like, oh, you girls don't, you wear makeup and da, da, da. Guys look so fucking different with facial hair. Mm-hmm. That's your makeup. Quit your bitching.
I've always wondered like what trends would be if women had beards or could grow facial hair. Like what would be like, would you like get extensions for your beard and just have like long hair, like long like beard.
Tinsel and feathers in your
beard? Yeah. Yeah. Some guys still do that.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Glitter beards.
Would
love
we be
that
like
trend.
Straightening our beard hair? Like, what would there be beard wigs? I want to know.
French braid mine.
I have a lot of French braid your hair into your beard. Ooh. There's so many things you could do.
The possibilities are endless. And honestly, they gave that responsibility to the group of people that won't do anything with it. I have seen some really disappointing beards. Like it takes so much time to grow a beard and so much care, and like some men just let it do its own thing. Like why would you dedicate so much of your life to something that you don't protect and take care of? You know, you're not going to protect and take care of me. Your beard shows me how you would be as a husband. Anyway, subscribe to our Patreon if you want to see I'm just gonna plug it throughout.
See
the
our grown out
see how
hair.
Awful my hair looks. I will let you
Mine's
roast
really
me
grown out too.
Please don't roast me though, because I'm fragile. Also follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter at the holy hour, everything. Throwing that in here now. I keep trying to find opportunities to plug our socials like in the middle of the episodes, and it's always clunky, so forgive me. The holy hour on all of those. holyhourpodcast@gmail.com to email us. We have gotten the most interesting emails recently.
Yeah.
I mean, always, but like we've gotten an influx.
Yeah. I can't wait to read one of them later.
I know, same. Okay, go on.
We have some things that we need to cover.
So many things. Can I have a little PSA for a sec?
Yeah.
You heard my breakdown on last week's episode. I just want to reiterate like how important it is to pay attention. I talked to my therapist about this again today, like how I need to get better at, instead of like adding things on when I'm stressed, like subtracting something to add. Like I can't pour from an empty cup. And I think that's important for, I know I'm not the only person that deals with this. It sucks when things that contribute to like making you feel whole and like okay start to like kind of suffer because you're so stressed out. So I'm really happy to be back. That fucking sucked. Liz was such an angel about the whole thing. She called me. We talked on the phone for like 45 minutes after that whole like fucking ordeal. I was a mess, but just like keep taking care of yourself. I'm so happy to be. I miss recording when we're not recording.
Yeah,
like the whole month of,
it's not like you didn't want to record.
Oh my god, that was what was so stressful about it, was like how do I fit this in my fucking day? Like how am I gonna do this?
Yeah. And since we're doing this between our job that we use to pay the bills, it's hard. It can be hard.
So subscribe to us on Patreon. People are going to stop listening. They can't hear me. Like, keep talking about Patreon. But then we can do this full time and I'll stop crying every episode. Amen. Okay, continue on with what you were going to say.
Well, the things that I have are things you wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll dive on in then.
What was the most pressing one you wanted to talk about?
I really want to talk about...
when you sat down, you were like, I have something I've been waiting to talk about for far too long, and I want to know what it is.
It has been especially prevalent recently. So I know having a podcast that has the subject matter that it does gives some smaller minded people like the permission in their minds to like objectify us or think that we are a certain way because we do this, which is especially frustrating because the point of doing this is to show that it's not taboo or like unusual, and like this is just something that people, even if people aren't thinking about it, they might be, or if they're not talking about it, they might be thinking about it, or they might be talking about it like in like private settings. And like I have just noticed I'll be talking to somebody, and this has been the case since we started. I'll be talking to somebody and it becomes apparent really quickly that like it's kind of like a means to an end. Like they're trying to like see what they can get out of me in a lot of instances. And I think for a while,
like, what do you mean? Like sexually?
Sex. Yeah. Mm. For a while I was like, when I was just like hooking up and like doing whatever, like, and not really putting a whole lot of weight behind it, I was like, all right, sure. Like, and that's fine. I mean, I'm all for transactional sex. I've talked about this openly before, but as time has gone on, I've been realizing how much more it's starting to bug me that people have this like preconceived idea of me because of what we do here. And we haven't really talked about that. Like we've talked about it in the sense of like relationships and how that's going to affect relationships in the future. But in terms of like the public perception of who we are, like how we are, like how we like conduct our lives just based on this, it's very clear that when people feel that way, they don't listen to the podcast.
Oh yeah.
But I just wanted to talk about it and ask if you've had any sort of experience with anything like that.
I feel like I get a lot of judgment on Twitter. Like if I like reply to something, I remember specifically I replied to a politician's like job posting for a social media specialist, like a social media manager. And I was like, you're requiring way too many duties for one position for like too little pay. Mm-hmm. Like this is the job of three people. And that's just kind of like what I had replied to the politician's like tweet. And then I was like, I'm a marketing professional and like this is like what you should be paying this role. And then someone was like, how could you call yourself a marketing professional, dressed the way you are or something like that? Yeah. And I was like, why don't you post a picture of how you look? And we can decide if you're good at your job.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, oh, yeah. He's like, what's your OnlyFans? And I think it's so annoying when men like say that.
Yeah. Like weaponize like, OnlyFans.
Oh, what a sick burn.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so hot. That could be the only way I make money, right?
Yeah.
Which good for those women. And like also you're just saying that like men like you are fucking stupid enough to just pay women to look at them.
Right.
So
right. They're capitalizing on your horniness.
Yeah.
Who's coming out on top in this situation? They are.
I don't think I've run into too many issues as you have, just because I started dating someone so soon after, which obviously was not something I was anticipating.
Yeah.
But I mean, that has been interesting to navigate too, because like of course we talk about, we're not just talking about sex. We're also just talking about relationships and dating and what we're learning.
Yeah.
And that clearly involves like my current partner. So I have to be very careful and considerate of like what I decide to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I've said this before, like he doesn't really listen anymore and I don't care. Like there's not anything that we talk about on the podcast that I haven't already talked to him about.
Right. Right.
So it's not like he'd be learning anything new. And plus we spend so much time together. It's like, he doesn't also need to have a parasocial relationship with me.
Totally.
And that's how, yeah. I know that's how some of my friends feel too. It's like, well, we already like talk all the time.
Yeah.
Could you not? Has anyone said anything directly to you about that?
No, it's just like very obvious.
Yeah. They just think that you're going to fuck them.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, no, but maybe, however, I also am a person and I care if you're a good person and if you're going to be nice to me.
Yeah, right. And it's been interesting to kind of like use that as like my like, I don't know, my like mile marker, I guess, of like how much I've changed throughout the past year. Because when people would approach me for sex before, like being like, oh, like, you know, like, and would still have the wrong idea about the podcast, but they would still approach me. I'd be like, okay. Cause like that's what I was looking for, was just yeah, kind of like what meaningless you, that's what you shit. Wanted. Yeah. And it was fine. And we were talking about it. And now if a guy approaches me, there was an instance a couple of weeks ago, a dude was trying to sext with me. And I was like, really, like, I'm attracted to him. Like,
just because you have a sex and dating podcast doesn't mean you're always fucking horny and like,
right. That's the thing. And like, I realized like I throw my walls up, like as soon as I can see somebody starting to slip into that mentality, because I'm a whole person outside of this. And like, yeah. I'm like, I was thinking about it and it was interesting to think about the change in that, because if that was a year ago, I would have been entirely different in those conversations. And mm-hmm. now I'm like, ugh.
Also, I think that kind of behavior is really juvenile.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just reminds me of like how a boy in high school would talk to me or approach me.
Yeah.
Or even in college.
Yeah.
And I don't really feel like I have to deal with that anymore as an adult.
No. And it's like, I don't know. I think it's good. The next time it happened, when I was talking to this guy, I was like, hey, listen, like, I don't want to like be a like awful to you because of like in the past how people have been. Like, I know, I don't know if this is your intention, but like people tend to like use me to like fill this like hole in their lives of like a sexual need, or like always bringing up the podcast, or like, oh, well, when we get together, we're gonna fuck. Like, I've gotten that a few times.
I also hate like, when guys are like, are you gonna, you're not gonna talk about me on the podcast, right?
Yeah,
like, you're not interesting enough.
Like, people are like, oh, I'm gonna have you sign an NDA. I'm like, what? Like,
you should tell guys you're gonna make them sign an NDA.
Fuck yeah. I'll bring NDAs with me to hookups.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, your basic boring ass needs an NDA versus, yeah, like, you who makes a living off of content.
Right, that's you, so true.
Do you mind? Go. He's like, no, I don't mind.
What are you doing, Cooper? Sir.
I'm going to bring him a chair.
Okay.
I was going to tell you something that's been weird for me lately. That I've been noticing is just like the way other men treat me because of Mr. Liz.
Yeah.
Like, we went to a concert this weekend and I was wearing like vinyl like leggings. Like, they're shiny and like pretty cool. And this guy walks up to me and points at my leggings and looks at Mr. Liz. And he's like, these leggings are amazing, to him. Like, huh. Is turned to my boyfriend. And then he was like, thanks. Like, they were all her. Like, she dresses herself. She's an adult woman. Like, and then there was it made me think of like another time when we had been traveling on the East Coast. We went to like this Amish, I don't know, mini mall basically. And we're waiting in line to get food, and this old man comes up to Mr. Liz while I'm like looking at the menu. I was like kind of off to the side squinting, looking at the menu to see what I wanted. And then I walk back up and this old man is saying to my boyfriend, like, you know what, you need to teach your girlfriend how to cook. And then I was like,
what the fuck,
excuse me? Well, and that I was especially annoyed because I'm like, motherfucker, I make so many awesome meals for us and just for myself. And then he was like, Mr. Liz, he's so amazing. He's like, actually, she's teaching me how to cook.
Hell yeah. What a perfect response.
And then I was just like, oh my God, I want to die.
Ew, God.
And then the old guy was like, yeah, you know what? You know why, like, men don't know how to cook? It's because their moms don't teach them. And then I wanted to be like, don't what? You fucking say anything about his mom, because she's an angel.
A fucking angel, man.
And he was like, because they want their sons to find a lady to get married to. And then I was like, yeah.
Ugh, God. I mean, like, I guess it would make sense for, like, this old man to be thinking that way, but this guy...
It's just, like, he's so, like, what happens in your head that you're like, yeah, this is a good thing for me to say? I don't care if you're old.
Yeah, no, I know. Shake it out of your system.
The
thing that surprises me is a young guy at a show that's like, hey, man, I like your girlfriend's pants. I don't know if that's, like, a respect thing.
He was, like, kind of middle-aged, too.
Oh, yikes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
And then he was like, why do men... talk to me to talk to you,
yeah,
when you're right here.
Yeah.
And I was like getting really annoyed about, like, the more I thought about it, I was like, it is fucking annoying how like men treat me when he's around. I feel like this was just like a vent session for me.
No, this is good. I had another question.
Ooh, yeah.
well, not another question, a question that I thought of on my way over here, because I'll tell you why once I answer it. Okay. Do you have a celebrity crush that you're like embarrassed to admit that you'd fuck?
Probably, but I feel like I need to think about it.
Okay. I'll tell you mine in the meantime you why I thought of this question. Post Malone is so hot to me. And like, I look at him and I'm like, but he's not, but like he is, because he's so lovable and fun and goofy, but then he looks how he does. That's one. I was listening to, he has a song called Feeling Whitney that is so fucking pretty. And I'm like, I would let this man, I would suck the life out of Post Malone through his dick and tell nobody. So that's one. And then the other one is this rapper.
You know, he'd be so nice to you.
Oh my God. He's so cute. He's just such a goober.
Seems like a bottom.
Okay. I could see it. He's just so cute. Like all of his, he like, there's a bunch of videos of him like dancing to Shania Twain at the VMAs. And like, he's just like, I just love him so much. The other one, I have to pull up a picture because you probably don't know what this guy looks like because he's not like that famous. His name's Tokyo. Oh God. Ugh. See, looking at him, I'm like, I can't believe I'm even saying this out loud.
No, I get it.
There's something really sexy.
He has like an Adam Driver thing about him.
Yeah.
But this guy is more attractive than Adam Driver.
Oh, that's a lot coming from you.
Yeah. And I love Adam Driver.
I know you do.
I will proudly... go to Pound Town.
Speaking of which, are you on Good Soup TikTok yet?
No, I keep seeing. Oh
my God.
I keep seeing references. I need to be on Good Soup TikTok.
So fucking funny.
What's it from?
Girls.
Oh, okay.
It's Adam Driver.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's sitting at the table and eating soup and he just goes, good soup. And people have just been like putting the audio to different videos and it's the best of TikTok. It's so fucking good. My God, it's so fucking cute. It's such a cute... I'm going to find it so I can get your reaction.
What's your favorite soup?
My favorite soup?
Yeah.
I love a good chicken noodle. My mom makes the best chicken noodle soup.
If French onion soup were a person, I would marry and fuck the shit out of that soup. That sounds really weird, but French onion soup.
Okay, fuck, marry, kill.
Mm-hmm.
French onion soup.
Mm-hmm.
Broccoli cheddar.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like broccoli cheddar before? That's important.
I do.
Okay. And tomato.
I'm going to
kill... Tomato with grilled cheese on the side.
I'm still going to kill tomato soup. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I will fuck broccoli cheddar and I will marry French onion soup.
Those are all good answers.
Because when you marry French onion soup, you... get to be with French onion soup the rest of your life.
That's true. You get to have continuous sex with French onion soup.
Yeah.
Okay, here's good soup. That's it. And it's fucking beautiful.
Good soup.
Squint started saying good soup and I had no idea what it was from. And then I started seeing people tweet about it. I was like, am I living in the Twilight Zone? What the fuck is
this? The way he aggressively is, that's what makes it.
I love him. Nobody loves Adam Driver like you love Adam Driver.
I think he's probably the same as he is on TV. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's like he's not really playing a character.
No, he's always some moody character.
He's a beautiful man. He's beautiful. Is he? Yeah. I feel like everybody, a lot of people think Adam Driver.
I like long hair Adam Driver.
Okay. Okay. Would you say that he's your like embarrassing celebrity crush? I would also fuck Seth Rogen.
I thought of Seth Rogen too.
He's daddy now.
But I'm like, I would be proud of that because he's a babe.
He's
hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would also be proud of Adam Driver because he seems scary and hot and I like that combination.
That would be such a flex.
I like to be like a little afraid.
Yeah.
I honestly like, I don't think there's anyone who is a celebrity that I would like hook up with that I would be ashamed of. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like if I was ashamed of it, I wouldn't hook up with them.
That's fair. But I mean, like, like showing you that picture of Tokyo, I was like, this is fucking, oh,
no,
God.
He's fine.
You know what I mean? But like, that's the kind of reaction.
Yeah,
that's
where,
like,
you're like, if you were, oh, God.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man.
Interesting question. We'll revisit.
Think about it longer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
We'll revisit. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else on your list? Because I have a whole fucking list.
Let me look again. I did have a rant. I have a couple of rants.
I love your rants.
This is just an episode where I'm ranting.
I love that.
This is a positive rant.
Ooh.
I want to talk about Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly.
Yes.
I fucking love them.
Yeah, me too.
I like was reading how once Megan Fox started like dating Machine Gun Kelly, people were calling her a slut.
Why?
Because like Machine Gun Kelly's like tatted up and she like left her husband for this relationship. Or, well, I think she, the more I was reading about it, I think that she just wasn't happy.
Yeah.
And
they were on and off, I guess.
Yeah. And then her husband had said, like, or I guess ex-husband, I don't know if they're officially divorced yet, but he was like, you know, I was upset, but also like she didn't ask to feel this way. She just does.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was like,
wow. He goes to therapy for sure.
Yeah. He was like, she didn't ask to feel this way. She can't help it. So like, even though it hurt to lose her, like, and I also keep seeing this theme on TikTok of like, men are always blindsided when their wives ask for a divorce, because women will try and make a change like for years. And then like it'll be a conversation like, hey, I am not happy. I want you to do more of this. Mm-hmm. And then it'll change for like a few months or something. And then it'll go back to how it was.
Yep.
So in her head, she's like, okay, I'm meeting my threshold of like, I'm not happy and I don't want to do this anymore. So then when she asked for a divorce, like men are always blindsided.
Yeah.
And it happens a lot. And I think like one of the most important things that I had heard, sorry, I have to collect my thoughts for a second. Just the idea that like, there's just kind of like this ongoing joke of like, we see it in media of like, your wife is supposed to be unhappy and you're just a guy,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's just already kind of this idea set into your head, like your wife's always supposed to be a little unhappy and cleaning up after you and always cooking and being your mom and nagging you. But that's not what people want. That's like not what women want. And mm-hmm. that we're also not sold that same idea. Mm-hmm. We're sold the idea of like, you should be passionately in love with your partner for the rest of your life. And they should chase after you the way like Jim chases after Pam and mm-hmm. like does everything to be with her. And
right.
I don't know.
Have, like, the Disney princesses to look at.
Exactly. Exactly. So we have like two fundamentally different ideas of what a relationship is supposed to look like from a very early age. And it's kind of like, you know, when you know that you are going to break up with someone and you like the first time you have the thought, you keep thinking about it. And then maybe you like have a few conversations and you're like, I want to change this. And then nothing changes.
Yeah.
I mean, this happened to me when I broke up with the ex who I forget I dated, because he was so like normal. But also he wasn't, I felt like everything I talked to him about, I didn't really like see any difference mm-hmm. in our relationship.
So I remember you saying that.
Yeah, I had already made the decision I didn't want to be together.
Yeah.
And then when I broke up with him, he was really blindsided. So on a larger scale, I think that happens a lot in marriages where women initiate the divorce.
Totally. Yeah. And like in the Megan Fox case, it's so, with celebrities and otherwise, I think that it's like always easy for people from the outside to like fill in your own narrative. Like, oh God, what a slut. First of all, so what?
And then they also just say that because she's so fucking hot.
Yeah, right.
Like, she but just is like the perfect, like everyone's perfect idea of just like a sex icon, because she's just so attractive in that way. Like, right. She has that like something extra, that mm-hmm. that je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, she really does. She's she is a smoke show.
Yes. And I think that's like why people like men do that all the time. Like, if a woman is beautiful, he just thinks that she's going to be a slut.
It's so fucked up.
It's like, well, if I think she's attractive, that means other guys think she's attractive. Yeah. So she probably just fucks all these guys that
right
think she's attractive. Yeah, but that's also, like, not true.
No, men want a hot woman and, like, none of the pressure of dating a hot woman.
And she can't know she's hot.
Yeah.
She has to put on glasses and she's ugly.
Yeah, right.
And then you take off those glasses and she's so hot.
She loves library.
Yeah.
And tea. And her books.
Girl I like, don't know that she's hot. And girl don't talk to boys. Girl don't go to club. Yeah. Girl don't post on Instagram.
Girl don't like sex. No. Only sex with me.
But girl like things I like. Girl like thing like game on the computer time. And she's good but not as good as me.
At the video games.
Yeah. At computer game.
You've already nailed our incel Halloween costume.
Yeah. But I talk like that.
Yeah, that'll be the whole episode. Y'all will love it.
They know they're gonna murder me. I feel like it's so annoying when you talk like that.
I love it. But like in the case of Megan Fox and her divorce, like people do not know all of the context of the divorce. Exactly. Like they could have been ending for so long and then like she was on this video shoot with Machine Gun Kelly and they fell in love.
Yeah, they were supposed to film a movie together.
They were.
And that's how they initially met, but then COVID happened, so they had to cancel it.
Oh, and then she was in his music video.
Yeah, because they had met and they just like got along and like in an interview he said that like she immediately like took him to like a psychic and like was like, I need to like, she looked up his astrology chart, which I like, I was like, this fucking girl.
I love her.
So funny. Yeah. And then, but my rant is like, I fucking love them together.
Me too.
When people are like, like you could be like a jacked guy, but like girls will still want to date a guy who looks like this. First of all, Machine Gun Kelly is hot.
Yeah.
He is attractive.
He's a string bean, but he's hot.
Yeah. He's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And he's got all those tattoos. That's
mm-hmm.
hot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's single-handedly trying to keep punk rock alive with Travis Barker. I respect that. When I listen to his music, I feel like I'm 13 again.
Hell yeah. And like Travis Barker having this resurgence of life because of Kourtney Kardashian is fucking dope. Like flying again.
I know.
Like really just like Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox and then Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker.
Yeah.
They're like PDA and just kind of like embracing it and being like, well, fuck all of you. We're just going to like make out in the middle of Italy. And like, who gives
and
a fuck?
Like, I want that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. Everybody wants that. Did you see Scott Disick messaged
yeah having a meltdown whatever
yeah.
But I want to continue my rant. They like when people are just like hating on like their PDA and whatever, I'm like, they look like they're having so much mm-hmm. fun mm-hmm. and like when I like watch how Megan Fox is with Machine Gun Kelly, like you can tell that she feels like a teenage girl mm-hmm. again.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have gone so long without feeling that way about someone, like when it comes around, it feels so special.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm so excited for her. Cause yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I know what that feels like. Like,
yeah,
this is so fun.
It's just really dope seeing women win.
Yeah.
Like same with Kourtney. Like she and her and Scott were in this like really toxic on and off. She was like always kind of mm-hmm. babysitting him. She was dating Younes, who was like so young and like young of mind, young of body. And then her and Travis Barker have been friends all these years and now they're like madly in love and they just want to show it. And it's like, fuck yes. Like you've gone through so much and like seeing people genuinely happy, and again, they're celebrities. We don't know, like, the whole story. Like, it might be for show, whatever, blah, blah. Don't be in our DMs about it. But seeing them happy is so exciting.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck yes. Like, everyone should find their happiness and not give a fuck what anybody thinks about it.
Like, who among us wouldn't want to feel like, you know, Machine Gun Kelly is fucking stoked. He is dating arguably the hottest woman alive.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She is such a babe. Like, and then, like, every teenage boy is heartthrob.
Yeah, he had posters of her in his room growing
didn't
up.
We all, you know.
Same. Where's my turn with Megan Fox?
Exactly.
Megan, call us.
Hey,
hi. We're a package deal.
And just like the way that they probably feel about each other is like just imagining it is really precious.
Yeah, I agree. Know? I agree.
So I'm happy for them.
Me too.
And I just feel like she is finding her voice and standing up for herself more and more. Mm-hmm. Whereas like before when she was over-sexualized and criticized at a young age, like it was like she just had to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a joke. It's like, haha, yeah, she's so hot. Let's put her in like booty shorts. And no one asked her how she felt about it.
No, of course not.
And she's finally getting her reckoning.
Mm-hmm. She really is. She's living.
Mm-hmm. It's the Megan Fox Renaissance, motherfuckers. That's the energy I'm bringing into age 30 is Megan Fox Renaissance.
Should we get matching tattoos that say Megan Fox Renaissance?
Absolutely.
Maybe we'll have a chance with her then. Megan.
We love you.
Subscribe to our Patreon.
I don't know if I want to be her or if I want to fuck her.
Hell yeah.
And that's the confusion of being alive.
I was talking with some of my friends about like not wanting to fuck someone but like wanting to masturbate as them, and we called that meta gay. And now our group of friends is called meta gay. It's just such a funny idea. It's like I'm not gay, I'm meta gay. I want to masturbate as them.
That's called like autosexual when you get off to yourself.
I feel like that sometimes during my my thirst traps shoots. Sometimes I'm like,
I'm so hot, I'm gonna masturbate to how hot I feel.
Sometimes
I've only felt that way a couple times.
Yeah, it's not often. I think sometimes a thirst trap shoot happens because I'm feeling like sexual in the moment, you know, and then I'm like,
I see what you're saying.
So fucking good.
My thirst traps happen when I'm sad.
That's good.
And I want to feel better about myself.
I've done that. I think it's a good reason to do a shoot.
You just gotta post a sad girl thirst trap
all day,
and because you need some shallow attention. And it feels good to just have, even when it's just the girls sending you the flame emoji, you're like, thank you. I needed this.
Compliments from girls hit so.
They hit different.
Different than,
I want the straight boys out there to know to compliment girls the way her girls compliment her.
Yeah. Hype us up. Comment on the picture and be like, fuck yes, girl. Mm-hmm. You look so fucking good. You're inspiring me, rather than like, oh, fuck, I want to fucking fuck you so bad.
Can I tell you my one petty thing? You're like, yes. Duh. I don't think, I might have already told you this. Mr. Liz keeps asking me what I want for my birthday, and I made a joke that I want him to post me on his Instagram.
Yeah.
But it's not a joke.
What did he say?
He just laughed. He's like, ha ha ha. Well, if you think of anything, let me know. I'm like,
But I did.
Shortly after, he posted me on his Instagram story.
Oh.
He also never posts.
No, he doesn't.
I think it was his last post was over a year ago. So.
That's true.
But still, I do still, like, I don't know. When guys are, like, posting pictures with their girlfriends and, like, saying how much they love them, I'm like.
It's really nice.
I want that.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to feel like you want to show them off, right? You know?
Yeah.
Like, this is my girlfriend, and I love her, and I think she's hot.
Right. I mean, it's just like a cute little, that meant so much to me in college, if my boyfriend at the time would post me or not, and it was the source of so many of our fights. It turns out he was cheating on me. But when he started posting me, like, even if you just put me on his story once every so often, it would mean so much. And like, I didn't want that to be the case. But if you think about how social media is, like, I don't want to say profile, but like, it's like kind of just like a one cheater on your life. Like, that's where everybody goes to look at like what you're up to, like who you're hanging out with, da da da. And it's like, sometimes I just want to be prevalent on that one cheater. Yeah. I don't think that's too much to ask. I don't think we actually talked about this last week. Do you think looking hot after sex is a myth? I don't think that it's possible. People on TV always look so hot after sex. I look in the mirror after sex and I literally could not possibly look worse.
I think that like your partner doesn't think that. Like, but I low key like looking like a mess.
Mm.
Like after having sex, like if my makeup is running off my face,
Yeah, I was like, oh, I don't know. That was good sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good soup.
Good soup. Good soup.
Good sex. I don't know. And then when I think about, like, I like when they're really sweaty.
Oh, yeah.
I am into that.
I'm
sure they're like, oh, I feel so gross. But I'm like, ooh. So yeah. Wet on me.
get those hormones all over me, baby boy. I think it's different though. Like if I could just look like sweaty and kind of messy and my makeup running, like I don't wear eye makeup, so like I don't really get any of that. But like
I look like an entire raccoon.
My hair will be up because I'll be giving them head, go straight into sex, and then the ponytail stays. Once the sex is done, it's like a loose kind of like on the side ponytail, and like my eyebrows kind of brushed up. My chin is red because I only hook up with guys with beards. It's not purposeful.
I feel like it comes with the package. You know, you're going to have your mouth's going to be red. True. I know what that looks like.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
That was like a projectile. Yeah. Oh, jeez.
It queefed in your face.
Everything's falling apart now. Ew, I didn't like how that sounded. Yeah, it's like, it does come with the territory. I think you're right. Every time I like look in the mirror after sex, like with squints, I'll look in the mirror and I'm like, oh God. He's like, no, you look beautiful. And he's really sweet about it and not in like a, no, don't worry, it's fine. But like in a genuine way. And I'm like, okay. But then I watch shows and I'm like where they have like a sex scene and they're just like laying in bed after like, oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, and it only takes 3 seconds for them to both come at the same time.
Yeah, I'm like, where? It's not real. No, that's a myth. It feels like a lie. That's fake.
It is a lie.
Oh God, I was dancing all weekend and I'm out of shape.
I was dancing in heels on Sunday and I'm still feeling it.
Liz, I got a video on, what was that, Sunday.
Oh, was it me doing the worm? Mm-hmm. Invite me to your wedding. I'll do the worm.
On a basically empty dance floor. I got this video from one of our old coworkers. And I'm like, that's my fucking girl.
We were the last ones there.
So good.
Needless to say, have you ever had a White Claw Surge?
No.
They're 8% White Claws.
Holy shit.
I was worried it had caffeine in it too. Because I was like, if this has caffeine, I don't want it.
Yeah, right.
But I was looking at it. It didn't have any caffeine. Just 8% alcohol.
Holy shit.
I looked at the bartender and I was like, RIP. And then he just started laughing.
It's happening.
Like, well, fuck.
Fuck it.
But I was going to say, I think that no matter what, like people do look hot after sex, but I think in shows and movies it just isn't reflected accurately.
No, for sure. And I mean like porn too, it's not really reflected accurately either, but like I look actually my worst after sex. Like I look better when I first wake up in the morning than I do after sex.
I just don't believe you.
I'm gonna have to take a picture next time.
Take a post-sex selfie.
I'm gonna take a post-sex selfie next time I have sex. Who knows when that'll be. All right. We got this message on Instagram at The Holy Hour. Follow us. You're gonna have to cut me off from plugging us eventually. Hi gals, been binging the pod all month. Recently ended an 8-year relationship, relatable, and immediately moved across the country, so The Holy Hour has def become a comfort podcast. I'm not fully caught up on the current episode, so sorry if you cover this later, but I'd love to hear more about how Amelia is navigating casual dating after her breakup. I don't want to date anytime soon in order to fully enjoy singlehood, but I'm considering downloading dating apps to get some casual sexy times going. Totally clueless about how to navigate boundaries and emotions around all that since I've only ever been in a long-term relationship. Would love a consistent hookup buddy, but I don't want trying to hook up to disturb my season of peace, but also not getting laid is already kind of disturbing my season of peace. LOL. Anyways, grateful for you guys. Really feels like gabbing with my friends while I'm cleaning my apartment / procrastinating, etc. Feel the need to add this on. This was a few days later, a month later. Oh, Jesus. I'm so sorry. We're just now seeing this. Feel the need to add this on because I have downloaded Tinder, feeling very grateful for your podcast for teaching me through your experiences that it's okay to want to like personalities of people you're sleeping with. Seems obvious typed out, but like I said, spring chicken over here. I'm caught up now. Glad you guys took a break and excited for new episodes to come.
Yay.
Thank you. We love you. We needed a break. Yeah. Clearly. Yeah, I mean, like, it's tough because it's like, I want to be able to give advice about navigating dating after a breakup, but like, I don't have any. Like, it was such a trial and error thing for me, and just like following my gut with the whole thing. And like,
I like that you were not hard on yourself, mm-hmm. like experimenting with what kind of dynamic was going to work for you. And after a breakup, you don't know, like, you need to like figure out what you need, mm-hmm. and whether or not that's like another relationship. Like, that's what I kind of defaulted to.
Yeah.
Until I got to a point where I was like, actually, I think I want to be by myself.
Yeah.
I just want to hang out in my own company.
Yeah.
And that's like invaluable. 100%. And then I was like, let's keep riding this train and I'll like start dating people.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
lo and behold.
And here we are.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really how it happens. Like, I went into, much like the person that wrote this, like, I went into dating like, I don't want to date. I just want to like enjoy being single, and I just want to like sleep around. Having a consistent hookup buddy would be nice. I mean, that ended up turning into something with like Music Man, where like I got more feelings than I wanted to. But like, I had a few of those consistent hookup buddies that were like, it was very obvious from the jump that that's all that I wanted. And we communicated that and it was fine. And it stopped working after a certain amount of time and we cut it off. Like, I think going into these things with the only intention being respecting your own boundaries and never losing sight of them. And then other than that, just like following your instinct with the whole thing and doing what feels right. And when it stops feeling right, like we were talking about earlier this episode, like how I've approached sex has changed a lot, and being able to pay attention to that and respect that has made that shift a lot more manageable, rather than like trying to be how I was in the past of just having like a bunch of meaningless sex and it be fun, because it really mm-hmm. was fun and it was genuine, and it's not that anymore. I don't want to have a bunch of casual sex anymore.
Yeah. You're allowed to change your mind.
Right.
And you're also allowed, like, both things can be true.
Yes.
My therapist loves to say that.
Both things can be true.
Yeah. I feel like advice. You say it too.
Yeah. I mean, it's true.
It's like, you can have had that experience and like loved it while you were in it. Mm-hmm. And you can also change your mind later.
Yeah.
And be like, yeah, I don't want that anymore, but I was happy at the time, and that's no longer what's right for me.
Right.
I think something too that I really liked is like, even though you were having casual sex, like, you still were making sure they were good people, and mm-hmm. you were doing everything in your power to make sure you were kind to them too.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, even though, like, you know, you didn't have that like connection or feeling that you want in a relationship, you still were being like considerate of their feelings and doing your best to like make sure that they still felt cared about.
Yeah.
So thank you. There is more. It's more than just like, I saw this tweet that was like, friends with benefits would be fine if men knew how to be friends. And it's so true, because they just treat it as like, yeah, I'm going to fuck you and that's it. But mm-hmm. there is no actual friendship involved.
Yeah, that happens way too often.
So like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just a relationship to them. But like, you can care about someone as a friend and have sex with them, and it is not a relationship, and it's not anything more than that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's possible.
I think it's possible
too. Not for me, but.
Yeah. I mean, like, if that's what you want, to just like go out and just like do it. One of my guy friends is exploring this now for the first time ever. He's kind of like accidentally been a serial monogamist. Like, he will go into situations being like, I just want to fuck and like have a good time. And then he ends up in relationships since I've known him. And now he's navigating this for the first time and trying to figure out like the best way to communicate this to people. And like, because I think it's different for like straight guys being like, I just want to fuck, then like, you know, because that there's a stigma. I mean, there's a stigma on both sides, but like, whenever I see, that was my approach for so long, and still I would see guys' profiles be like, not looking for anything serious. I'd be like, ugh.
Ew.
You know, well, it's like, but that's what I want though.
That's also because like, oftentimes that doesn't come with the attachment of like, I'm going to be respectful of your feelings.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Like, at the end of the day, the most important thing is like, are you both being considerate of each other's feelings? Because you can both agree and not want a relationship. You're a perfect example of this. Yeah. Like, you cannot want a relationship, but that doesn't exclude respect.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be kind. You need to be respectful.
Yes.
And once you both are in agreement of that and like going to have open and honest communication, you'll be able to navigate like casual dating in the way that you want.
Yeah.
Because it can still be satisfying to be single and like hooking up with people. But like, when people are rude to you and like don't treat you like a human, that shit sucks. It feels bad.
Yeah.
I'm getting mad thinking about people just like being disrespectful.
Yeah. No, I know.
Like, it's not asking for a lot.
It's really not. It's like a basic human decency thing. Yeah,
someone wanting your respect does not mean that they want a relationship with you.
Yeah.
Get yourself off that high horse.
That's the thing. Honestly, like, I feel like this is another Music Man episode, but that's kind of what I ran into with Music Man is, like, we both agreed. I mean, I fell in love with him, but, like, not actually. Well, who knows? But, like,
I don't think got
feelings. I think that I was, like, I was definitely, like, a blissful kind of, like, lust. Like, but I think it was the not being able to have it that made me so into it. Mm-hmm. But that was the thing that we ran into was, like, the second that I started to catch feelings, I stopped getting respect from him. And, like, that was him being like, oh, skirt. Like, we talked about this and, like, that's not. But even though there's not going to be that relationship thing, you still owe people your respect. Yeah. Like, you still owe it to them to respect them and communicate with them and tell them what you need and what you're willing to put up with and what you're not willing to put up with. And if you can't respect the need to give respect, then you have to cut it off. Yeah. Because, like, just human to human, you should always respect everybody, especially when you have open communication with them and, like, you have, like, a sexual setup with them that requires open communication and respect. And, like, just too often, that's the first thing to fall away is communication and respect.
Yeah.
And it's fucked.
It's because it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. It is.
It's uncomfortable to be honest sometimes.
It's always the best thing.
But then once you do, like, that's like, it usually goes better than you anticipate. Mm-hmm. And then also if it goes badly, then that's like your indicator that this person sucks and you can leave.
Yep. Totally. Yeah. Everything's a lesson or a blessing.
Bow, bow, bow.
Should we put that on merch? I've been thinking about it. Let us know. Slide into our DMs.
So this one is in response to our marriages, weddings, and bears.
Wow. Throwback.
Hi, Liz and Amelia. Obviously, put out episode 48 a while ago. However, you guys asked for some stories about drama and weddings, so I thought I'd share mine.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Buckle up, ladies, or take a shot. My husband and I got married 3 years ago after dating for 4 years. He comes from an intact family. His parents are still together. However, my parents divorced in a blaze of hellfire before I was ever born.
Oh, yikes.
And since my mother decided to never go to my dad, that's a story for a different day. So when it came to planning my wedding, I knew that having him walk me down the aisle would be a non-starter. I tried to plan for things in an attempt to cater to her before approaching the topic of my dad. For example, I agreed to a more faith-based officiant, even though my partner and I are both agnostic. I've had oodles of therapy since, and I'm rolling my eyes at myself for all of this.
Wow, that's relatable.
I finally got up the nerve to ask my mother about having my dad just at the ceremony, not even the reception. And she ended up throwing a huge fit about how if he's there, she wouldn't be.
Give me a break.
My mother was paying for the wedding, even though my dad offered to split the cost with her, so I felt obligated to further cater to her wants, even though it was my wedding. As a result, no one on my dad's side of the family has spoken to me in 3 years. And honestly, I don't blame them. I also didn't speak to my stepmom for 2 years over the whole debacle. My dad and I have a strong relationship, so while it sucked not having him there, he and I worked through it. This was just a smidge of the drama that occurred around planning my wedding. And yes, my mother was at the center of it, upside down face smiling. Anyways, that's on family drama. Remember when we used to say,
yeah,
that's on.
Yeah, and that's on. Yep.
Love your show and love you both. If you're ever in West Virginia, drinks are on me and free snuggles with our puppy are available. And then she included a picture of her dog.
Oh my God, it's a Gorgo.
He's so cute.
Hi, Vivi.
Well, we love you too. And I want you to know that even though you're an adult with your own agency, that this isn't your fault and family puts us in shitty positions. And like,
that was an impossible position to be put in.
Yeah. I mean, there's only so much you can do, but I'm really happy that you found a partner who loves you. Sounds like you guys have a great relationship and you still have a good relationship with your dad, but damn.
I'm really sorry that you had to go through that. Weddings really do. They can bring out the ugly.
They bring out, weddings bring out the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have one more fun little email that I have been so stoked to fucking read.
Fuck yes.
You know exactly which one it is.
Do I?
I think so.
Okay, go on.
I sent it to you. I don't know if you read it.
Oh.
So this is your maybe first Brazilian listener.
Oh, yes. Oh, God. Yes.
Hey, Amelia and Liz. My name is blank. 25, and I'm from Brazil. Unfortunately, ha ha ha, I fucking hate the president.
Wow, we've been there.
Yep. Welcome to our pain. Mm-hmm. Hope you're relaxing and using the best drugs in town during this little vacation.
Oh my God, yes.
I couldn't wait to send you an email. I'm completely obsessed with the pod. I've been listening to it nonstop since Amelia showed up on my For You page on TikTok telling misogynists that they underestimate your FBI skills to find their bosses. I laughed so much because I have that superpower too. we should start like a vigilante.
Hell yeah. Like a force, like a space force.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll figure out a good name.
My space force. I'm trying really hard not to write you a whole fucking book. Sorry, but I really love the pod. You have no idea how important it has been for me to listen to stories like mine and finally feel normal. Mm. Brazilians are known for being slutty. And yes, we are. Thank gods.
Yes.
But we don't really talk about sex. Every time I tried, people reacted in weird ways. Either they think you're a weirdo or frigid for not liking something, or they take you as a huge slut for liking sex too much. Before antidepressants, I had a high sex drive. Been there. Mm-hmm. Currently entering that. Mm-hmm. I used to masturbate at least thrice a week, and a male friend said it was too much for a girl in a bad way.
Go fuck Anyways, yourself.
He was a douche. We're not friends anymore, but what he said stuck in my mind for a long time. I never liked giving head, and again, people looked at me like I was a talking fish when I said that.
What a funny phrase.
That's my favorite phrase. Some because I was being honest and open about it, others because they saw me as frigid. I mean, I have my reasons for not liking it. I don't really know how. I'm always afraid my teeth are hurting them by accident. My jaw really hurts fast, and it takes forever for them to come. Maybe because I'm bad at it?
No.
Actually, I don't even want them to come in my mouth. I have OCD. I've had OCD since I was a kid, but only got diagnosed in 2019. Because of it, I hate dirty things in my mouth, and we all know guys aren't trustworthy with their dick cleaning routine. Yeah, we did read about that.
Yep, we sure did.
And oh my God, what would I do if they came in my mouth? I see myself brushing my teeth until it bleeds. There's absolutely no pleasure for me in this, just disgust and shame. Never had the courage or felt comfortable with my exes to ask them how they liked it or explain why it was uncomfortable for me. Mm. My worst ex, we all have that one, once said, "All my ex-girlfriends and friends love giving blowjobs. You are not normal for not liking it." I told him to go ask them for blowjobs then.
Good for you.
I hated him. He was abusive and forced a relationship on me. But that's another story. The point is, he made me really think I was frigid and a weirdo. But with my next boyfriend, I realized I fucking love sex and that I can come with just penetrative.
What a blessing.
I know. I'm jealous. I just didn't want to have sex with that disgusting human being. Yeah, when someone's personality sucks, you like don't want to have sex with them. Especially if they like pressure you. Yeah. It just adds stress and then you don't want to have sex if you're stressed.
Yep.
It's a never-ending spiral. Mm-hmm. I still don't like giving blowjobs and still feel ashamed. But hearing you girls talk about sex gave me courage to talk about it with my therapist. Let's see what we'll find in this scary black hole. Ah! Last time I had sex was January 2019. My depression got really severe that year, and I just wasn't in the mood for living. Respectfully laughing. Haven't we all fucking been there?
Wow, what a... Yeah,
this is the most relatable thing.
Yep.
And then I went on treatment. Fucking COVID happened. Couldn't leave the house because my OCD has taken charge of my head since then.
Mm.
Hopefully this year I'll take the spider's web out of my coochie, the poor girl. I've translated a saying we have here, haha. Sorry for the long email. I just wanted to share my story with you because I feel like you're my friends.
Oh.
And even better than them, I know you won't judge me. We feel like you're our friend too.
That makes me want to cry. The last sentence just made my heart pitter-patter.
And then she said some more nice things. And thank you so much for writing this and like, oh, she also wrote, "Love you, my children."
Yes. Oh, girl. Ugh, this is seriously, first of all, never apologize for sending us long emails. Yeah. We fucking lit for this. Second of all, you were hilarious.
Yeah, this was like, when I opened this email, I had like had a long day and it was like one of the funniest fucking emails I had read. I immediately texted Amelia, like, she needs to go find it and read it.
Yeah.
But I, like, those are the kinds of messages that just make it worth it. You know,
yeah.
Obviously all of the love you guys send us makes it worth it. But we just like love, you know, knowing that like something like this made you feel comfortable talking to your therapist about sex.
That's huge for us.
It's really hard to talk to your therapist about sex. Like,
yeah,
I don't think I talked to my therapist about sex very much until I was like, so I'm starting this podcast with my friend and we're talking about sex. So if I'm going to talk about it to the world, I should probably talk to you about it.
Uh-huh.
And it's probably one of the best choices I've made for myself.
Oh my God.
She's so helpful.
Oh my God. And yeah.
It's just really great. Like, there's a lot of baggage that comes along with having sex. So I think talking to your therapist about it is really great. And then we've also gotten, like, I was surprised by this, even though I shouldn't be. We get so many emails that are like, you've made our sex life better. Like,
yeah, oh my God, that's so rewarding.
My boyfriend and I have a better sex life after listening to you. And I mean, I think it's just because like we're having these like conversations candidly. So mm-hmm. then, you know, you could be like, hey, so I was listening to this podcast. Like, what do you think?
Yeah, right.
It just provides the platform to have a conversation about it. And
totally.
We advocate for communication more than anything. So, mm-hmm. and it, I know it's so obnoxious and it's so straightforward, but it's so fucking hard to actually practice. Yeah. Like, communication is what makes your relationship like the relationship of your dreams.
I mean, it's a muscle for sure. Yeah. Like, you
judgment
have
free communication, especially, which is also hard
when you've been shown in the past that communication isn't possible. Like, if somebody in the past has made you feel like you can't be open, it makes it even harder.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect transition into the issue. I'm watching Grandpa clean himself and it's the cutest thing I've ever watched.
He is cute.
The issue of not liking giving head and like not knowing like how to broach that conversation and like
mm-hmm.
being told in the past that she like, oh, other girls like giving head. There is going to be somebody in your life that you can be open and honest about your diagnosis of OCD and work through that difficult thing together and feel like it takes some of the power away when you're able to open up. And who knows, like maybe like having somebody that supports you in that and makes you feel safe in that will make you feel more comfortable doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it won't. And there's no shame either way with it, because when you're with the person that you're supposed to be with, you find ways around these things that make you uncomfortable. Like, it's not one of those things that like should be a make or break thing for somebody. And that's, if it is, that's probably like not the person for you, well, you know?
Also, it's just like those kinds of conversations, like people making her feel bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to shape how you feel about it.
Yeah.
So right. like feel guilty for not feeling comfortable for mm-hmm. being like, I don't really know what I'm doing. And then some guy like that you're supposed to trust makes you feel bad for it. Of course, that's going to affect how you feel about it.
Yeah.
And it sits there in the back of our brain for a long time.
Marinates.
Yep. And then you have to like do all this work to try and undo it. And then for that other guy to fucking make her feel bad about masturbating.
What the fuck is that?
Are orgasms just for the boys? Fuck off.
He's also probably insecure that he won't be able to make her come like she can make herself come.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like a personal problem, dude.
Yeah.
Can't fucking deal. Anyway, thank you so much for writing in.
Yes.
We love you so stinking much. Sex fact of the week.
Sex fact of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Sex fact of the week.
Oh.
Sex fact of the week.
Baby girl. I don't know why I need to throw that ad-lib
in. I like how we get
in.
Like 70s with it.
I know. It feels good. Bad mama jamma. That was the stupidest thing I could have ever fucking said. I felt like my grandma when I said that. Fact. 1 out of every 6 Americans aged 14 to 49 has a genital herpes HSV2 infection. That feels relevant to a lot of things that we've talked about on this podcast.
What is it? 1 out of 49?
1 out of every 6.
1 out of every 6.
Aged 14 to 49.
Has
a genital herpes HSV2 infection.
Insane.
That's a lot of people.
1 out of 6.
What is that? 33%?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know math.
Well, I'm My dad's going to be listening and be like, you fucking moron. It's 1.6%.
1 out of 6 people?
Yeah.
Is 1.6%? Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound correct.
16.66?
Then you would move the decimal,
Two places? Yeah. 16.67%.
That still doesn't seem right.
You're going to cut out this math part. It's going to be in there and everyone's going to be like, all right, well, you know, I was listening for a math podcast and now you've lost my listenership.
So if it was 1 out of 10, that would be 10%.
Oh, 1 out of 6 is more.
Yeah.
16.67%. That was a good way to work back from that. This is an important conversation and it's in now this counseling website. And this is something we've ranted about in the past. A big penis won't stretch out or ruin a vagina. A weirdly popular myth circulating on the internet these days is having too much sex or having sex with a large partner or toy can stretch out a woman's vagina and or labia, resulting in ugly roast beef flaps. Ridiculous, says Harris, who's the doctor that consulted on all this. The vaginal canal is a muscle and does not permanently stretch from having accommodated a large penis or toy, she explains. The vagina is incredibly resilient and bounces back quickly. Also pushes a whole ass human out.
Yeah.
Also, the shape and size of the labia are unique to each woman and are not indicative of her sexual status or history.
Yeah, that's the same. That's like saying like every time a guy has sex, his dick gets smaller.
And if some guys act like that, for sure.
It's just like... I saw a tweet recently that was like, it was like, you've had sex with how many women and you're still not good? Like, what aren't you learning? You should be better at this.
Wow. And that's okay. That is so important that it's important for people's sexual partners to not, and I'm guilty of this. I've said this in the past. Do not fake orgasms. This is something that I've stopped doing in the past few months because how is anybody ever going to fucking learn if you're just appeasing them by having fake orgasms?
Yeah. And then also everyone's different.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this was like an Am I the Asshole post where like some girl was like, some guy said something was wrong with her because she didn't come. And he's like, every girl I've been with has come. And then she laughed because she was like, they were lying to you.
Yeah, they 100% were. Oh my God, I love that. And you are not the asshole. Yeah. You are doing him a favor.
It might have, I can't remember where I heard that story. That's but so fucking I'm sure that applies to a lot of different people.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, I've made everyone come. Oh.
You surely you have not. Oh, I'm so sorry, honey. That's so sad. So sad you were lied to.
On that note.
We love you. It's so good to be back.
Yeah. We love you, our children.
Ooh, I harmonized this week. Wow, look at us switching up. Okay, bye.